brothers in Christ, peace, grace, mercy, and joy unto you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the year 1095, that's 928 years ago, Pope Urban II issued a call to all Christians in Europe to reclaim the Holy Land, to reclaim Jerusalem in particular from the Muslims. This call to action by the Pope back 928 years ago resulted in what was almost 200 years of religious war. We know this religious war as the Crusades. The Christian men, and they were mostly men, who answered the call of the Pope, they were known as the Crusaders. And they took the Christian cross as their symbol. They believed that the symbol of the cross made them invincible against the Muslims. In fact, Crusaders marched from Europe to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, under the battle cry of Deus vult. It is God's will. They truly believed it was God's will to eradicate the heathens, the Muslims, from the Holy Land. Now, this wasn't the only example of Christians dealing violently with perceived heathens, with perceived non-believers or unbelievers and heretics, which is represented by the weeds in our gospel story, in the parable that Jesus told. Shortly after the Crusades, in the early 12th century, the Christian church at the time, the Catholic Church, instituted the Inquisition. Do y'all remember that? Anybody was there? Probably none. The Inquisition was a powerful office set up by the church, by the Catholic Church, to root out, to eradicate all those who had a heresy, heretical tendency, all those who did not believe in Christ according to the church. And the Inquisition took place throughout Europe and into the Americas. People were given the opportunity to repent or to recant and to adhere to the teachings of the church, or else they'll be burnt at the stakes. Jan Hus, who was a contemporary reformer of Martin Luther, he was burned at the stakes for unwilling to recant, for unwilling to stop reforming against the church. He was sort of Martin Luther's predecessor of the Reformation. And we all know, of course, the bounty that Martin Luther himself had on his head, all because of the Inquisition. It seems to me that the church has missed the point of Jesus' parable, the parable of the weeds, far too often. In an attempt to create a Christian world, many Christians have taken into their own hands the judgment that is reserved for God. Now, Jesus very plainly tells us that there's going to be weeds among the wheat. Now, I'm not much into farming, but I do a little bit of gardening. And this I know what weeds are. Weeds are, by definition, by my simple definitions, weeds are vegetation or plants that you don't like. Another man's weed is another man's plant or flower. It's basically plants that we don't like. We don't like in whatever form, whether the color is off or that it just pervades and takes over the whole garden. Weeds are those plants that we do not like. And Jesus uses this metaphor of weeds as those people that we often claim we don't like. Jesus very plainly says there are weeds. They're going to be weeds among wheat. They're going to be believers mixed in with non-believers, with unbelievers. So, be that as it may, what is God's plan for weed control? That's the question that I'd like to focus on this morning and for us to look at out of Jesus' parable. Now, the details of the parable are not that hard to understand, especially after Jesus explained them. We're told that a farmer has sown good seed in his field, but his enemy came in the dead of night and sowed weeds among the wheat. Now, I don't know exactly what kind of seeds the enemy of the farmer sowed in the fields, but I could pretty much guess that it was the weed known as the bearded darnel. Now, the bearded darnel, it looks just like wheat when it starts to sprout. It looks in every way like the wheat plant. The only way that you could tell is when it has fully developed its stalk. The bearded darnel looks just like wheat, and it's hard and difficult to tell them apart, especially when they grow side by side. In fact, the bearded darnel has this amazing ability of growing and entangling its roots to the roots of the wheat. Therefore, when you pull them out, you also run the risk of pulling the wheat with them. Jesus tells us very plainly that he himself is the sower, the farmer who sowed good seed, that the field where he sowed his good seed is the world. And the wheat, the good seed, are the believers, the people of the kingdom, the followers of Jesus, the disciples. And of course, the weeds are the unbelievers, the non-believers, and the enemy is the devil. So now that we have the basic details of the parable all defined, we need to ask ourselves, what's the point? What's the point of it all? Why is Jesus sharing this parable with his disciples and ultimately with us? Well, our lives as believers are going to be like a field where there are weeds and wheat. That's pretty much a given. Where our lives are going to be like a field where there are believers and non-believers. And Jesus is basically issuing a warning to us. The warning is that wherever and whenever the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and all the believers prosper and flourish, the devil is also going to be there to sow seeds of discontentment, seeds of destruction, seeds of disruptions, seeds of fear, seeds of abuse. The devil is going to work through those weeds to try and choke the faith out of the wheat, the good seeds. And you say, how does this happen? Well, when we allow ourselves not only to be in the world, but to become of the world, when we value, when we trust, when we rely on the things of this world more than we rely on the things of God, when we are distracted by, or when we focus on, and when we strive each day to gain the world and all of its promises of wealth and prosperity, that's when Jesus asks, as in Matthew 16, what good will it do a person to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul? So we're left with a conundrum, aren't we? Clearly, the weeds are dangerous to the wheat. They consume all the nutrients. They tend to crowd the wheat in. They have tremendous influence on the outcome of the wheat. So what does one do? What do we do? Well, the logic dictates that if the problem is the weed, then let's get rid of the problem. That's what the servants of the master in the story thought as well. They said about the weeds, "Master, do you want us to go and pull them out?" However, as often is the case, that's what seems best in our thinking, what seems logical in our thinking, is often not what God thinks is good, what God thinks is proper. The master replied to his servants, "No, because while you are pulling the weeds, you run the risk of uprooting the wheat with them." I wonder how many potential believers, I wonder how many potential wheats were killed because of the Crusades. I wonder how many believers gave up their faith in God under the pressures and the tortures of the Inquisition. Well, we'll never know. But Jesus' point is clear. If we try to eradicate the weeds, the unbelievers, the non-believers, those who differ from us, if we try to eradicate them especially by violence or through torture or through destructions, inevitably we're going to take some potential wheat out with them. We're going to potentially take some believers out with them. The master's answer in the story was emphatic and unmistakable. The only solution is to allow the weeds and the wheat to grow together. How does that grab you? How does that sit with you? Does this part of the parable bother you? I know it bothers me. I struggle with this. I told my staff at staff meeting on Monday that this part of the parable bothers me a great deal. To allow the weeds and the wheat to grow together? What kind of sense does that make, Lord? Why does the Lord allow the weeds, you know, the unbelievers, those people that we label them or those people? Why would God allow them to live among us, to have a smooth and as easy a life as we do? After all, are we not the beloved of God? Are we not the wheat? The faithful ones, the ones who do good works, the ones who love our neighbors, are we not the one who follow and do everything right for Jesus? Shouldn't God love us more because we are the wheat? And why does he allow the weeds to live among the wheat? Well, friends, if we think and ask these kinds of questions, then we're saying that we believe that we deserve God's favor more than others. That we somehow have earned God's love. And that we should be rewarded, we should be compensated for our faith in him. If we ask these kinds of questions, that is nothing less than self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is nothing more than sinful. It's as sinful as unbelief. Instead, we should be thinking about why God doesn't deal harshly, or why God doesn't get rid of the unbelievers, the weeds of the world. Because if he did, If God did got rid of all the weeds, the unbelievers, those who do not believe or trust that we do in God, if he got rid of all of them, what would your life be like today? Now, many of us, my life will be great, will be awesome, will be trouble-free. Really? If God did get rid of all the weeds in your life, how uncomfortable and how complicated will your life be today? See, just think about how many benefits we receive from unbelievers in our world today. How many of our public servants, for example, who provide protection for us, who provide the peace and the safety that we have, how many of them are unbelievers? How many of the people who grow the food we eat, who make the clothes we wear, how many of the people who produce the movies, the entertainments that we enjoy so much in our lives, how many of them are unbelievers? Kind of gives us a little different perspective about being wheat among weeds, doesn't it? Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not advocating for creating more weeds in the world. I am simply saying that if the weeds, if our prayers for God to get rid of all the weeds in the world, how would that impact your life? See, the truth and good news is that God allows the weeds to grow and flourish only so we, you and I, the wheat, can flourish. Jesus was right that there will always be weeds, and we are wheat among weeds. There will always be unbelievers in the world, and they might even be in his church. May not be necessarily here at our Savior's, but in the church of Jesus Christ, they might be weeds, unbelievers, non-believers who come for whatever reason. We've also recognized that the Lord can use even the weeds of the world for our good. I often tell people that God can use even the ungodly to bring about godly purposes and goods. That is who God is. And how dare we as Christians limit what God can do by saying, he'll never be able to use that person for God's glory. Nonsense. God can use whomever God is, believers or non-believers, weeds or wheat, for his glory. God is able and allows the weeds to grow alongside the wheat. See, weeds, for all intents and purposes, help us recognize the truth, the reality of God among us. They test our faith. They cause us to grow in faith and deepen our relationship with God even more. Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Romans. We know that in all things, including the weeds of the world, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And finally, friends, we should recognize that the weeds of the world are just as deserving of God's grace as we do. After all, we're just as sinful in our nature as the weeds and the unbelievers in the world. We're just as lacking in goodness as they are. The only difference between us and the weeds of the world is that God has given us the gift of faith, and it resides within us, in our hearts. But the good news for the weeds is this, that every moment of time that they live is a chance and an opportunity for them to know Christ. the Christ who, through his perfect life and his innocent death on the cross, that Christ has the power to transform weeds into wheat and to transform them to fit in the granary of heaven. So where does this leave us as wheat among weeds? Well, again, Jesus wants us to be clear that weeds and wheat will exist together on this side of heaven. Now, I hope that that doesn't discourage you. Instead, I hope it will encourage you. I hope it will encourage you to remain wheat. Jesus hasn't given us the task or the job of uprooting the weeds of this world. Many of us think that God, that's what Jesus has empowered us to do. No. Jesus says, that's my job. God says, that's my job, not yours. God in Christ Jesus knows who the weeds are and who the wheat are. That is not ours. Our job, our task, our challenge is to be able to proclaim the gospel even to the weeds in the hopes that they may be turned wheat. Yes, biologically, scientifically, it's impossible, we say, but we don't serve just any ordinary God. We serve the God who is extraordinary, who is able to transform, change things, even making weeds into wheat. That is what the gospel does. That's the power of the gospel. It changes weeds into wheat. And God in Christ Jesus wants us to look at unbelievers, the so-called weeds of the world, the same way that Jesus looked at them, as recipients of the forgiveness that he offers us from the cross. Yes, right now, we are wheat among the weeds. And we can easily be discouraged by all the goings-on in the world and how our lives are seeming to be influenced, encroached upon, stifled by, and how we can't seem to rise above the effects of the weeds around us. But the day is coming. Jesus says the day is coming when the weeds will be separated from the wheat, and the weeds will be bound up and tossed into the furnace, and the wheat will be gathered and placed in the heavenly granary or barn. Yes, we are wheat among the weeds. But when the harvest time finally comes, and it will, Jesus promised it will, someday it will. And when it does, may we all be found in the Lord's barn in heaven. Amen.